Well, good morning again. It's good to be together, and I appreciate Tommy leading that song. It's a song that I think kind of pulls together the theme for our morning, and I appreciate y'all participating in that with us. I was thinking about how to introduce our lesson to this morning and thinking about desperation. And we got a phone call Friday night, and it sort of definitely pulled together what I needed to say at the beginning of the lesson, but it's something that I wanted to kind of share with you and ask y'all to be praying with Laurie and I about a situation. Several years ago, we had a dear friend in South Carolina who was diagnosed with leukemia. She was a mother of four children, and in the process of her treatment at the church, we kind of all came together and put a big bone marrow donor drive on and had a lot of people, you know, put on the registry list. And it ended up that she was able to have a donor, and it just so happened it was one of her children. It was the coolest thing, and she's been cancer-free now for several years. But in the process of a lot of people being on that donor list, we received a call Friday night. And Laurie is a very possible match for someone with leukemia. And it's just the most amazing thing to think about being able to impact a life in that way. We're in the process of her being further tested. There's probably, maybe or at least possibly, several candidates that they will kind of do some further tests and see which is the best match. But you know, as that call came through and we started talking, we just began thinking about our friend, first of all, and remembering that whole series of events and realizing that there is a man, and we don't know him yet and we don't know his situation, but we know that he has, you know, a form of leukemia. And there's a family who is desperate and a man who's desperate for life and the possibility of a second chance at life. Because when you get to the transplant of bone marrow, it's just the ultimate in the last ditch effort at life. The process, and I don't know if y'all know much about the process, but it is for the patient, it is just so extreme to go through that process. For Laurie, I mean, she'll be safe and we're not concerned about her, but it's just one of those deals. I mean, we love you, but but it's really, I'm in trouble. Can I go to lunch with anybody today? Wow. But the point, there's really not a lot of risks for the donor, but for the recipient, it's such a huge deal. And so I want y'all to be praying with us that that Laurie might be that match, or that if it's not her, that they will find a match. Because it just kind of made it very real for us that there's a very desperate situation out there somewhere. And it would just be so cool for us to be a part of that, actually helping God be a part of that solution. So let's, if you don't mind, let's pray about that right now. Father, we just come to you, and we know that you are the great physician, and that you can heal anybody that you choose to heal. And we just are grateful that through your wisdom and through helping people, we've made such advances in our medicine, and we've discovered that the bone marrow of someone can be used to heal someone else. And so, Father, we're just praying right now for this man, and we don't even know his name. But we know that he's got to be desperate, that he is scared, that he is afraid that his life is going to end. And that there's a family and people that love him and support him that are just as hopeless and desperate. And we just pray that you would bring good about, and that your will would be done, and that possibly your will would be that he could be saved and that he could be healed. And we just ask your awesome presence to just be evident in this situation. And again, Lord, we just pray that hope can come to this family and that healing can come. And if it's through Laurie, we just pray that you would be glorified in that. Thank you for sharing this story with us this week. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to obviously share the scripture next that's up on the screen, because it's sort of the summary verse of the story that we're going to tell today. And I know it's one that y'all are all familiar with. It's Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus and to all the people around, and he says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Y'all are familiar with that, right? Can y'all say that with me? I want y'all to kind of stay engaged this morning. So say it with me. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, as we go through this story, I want you to remember those words, because those words are really what this story is all about. Let's read it together. You don't have to read out loud this time. Just listen and read on the screen. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. We're beginning a series this week, and we're going to be talking about some stories as Jesus is headed towards the cross. Our passage begins with the fact that Jesus is going through Jericho, and he's actually on his way to Jerusalem. And we're going to look at some events that are happening. Jesus, you know, he knows that the cross is very soon in his future. This is probably within the last month of his life. And so for me, the stories that we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks are significant, because Jesus, knowing what's ahead of him, the events that occur and that are talked about in Scripture, to me, have some probably very significant value to us. And today is one of those stories. As Jesus is passing through Jericho, it tells us that there's a man there named Zacchaeus. And we've all heard the story of Zacchaeus, so it is such a simple story. But I want us to kind of put ourselves in that story. I want us to try to relate to what's going on in this story today. Because as we think about Zacchaeus, we know that he is a tax collector, and we also know that he is the chief tax collector. But what did that mean about for him? I think for him it meant that he was just totally hated by all the other Jews. Because a tax collector meant that you were kind of viewed as a traitor. You were a Jew, but you had sided with the enemy. You were working for the Romans, and you would collect money from your fellow Jews, and you would give it over to the enemy. You'd give it to the Romans. And in fact, he made his living that way, and it says he was the top of the pyramid, and it says that he was wealthy. Well, how did a tax collector become wealthy, but they would take extra money from their fellow Jews? In fact, they could probably take as much as they wanted to take, and the Romans had a certain amount of money that they required, and then the tax collectors would just keep whatever they chose to keep. So you can imagine, I mean, I know most of y'all probably don't love the IRS people, but you don't hate those people, right? But these guys were just totally hated. So Zacchaeus was an outcast. Many people viewed the tax collectors as murderers. And because of that, he probably, living in Jericho, had to be somewhat friendless. He probably had to feel lonely quite often. He probably went through life feeling sort of empty most of the time. Feeling kind of like, I'm lost. That I'm going down this path in my life, and I'm very alone, and I don't know what to do to change it. I'm here in this town with all these people, but I'm kind of alone. And I wonder if Zacchaeus didn't start to feel a sense of desperation, a sense of how is this ever going to change, a sense of hopelessness. And I think for some of us, what I'm hoping is that we can kind of relate to Zacchaeus a little bit. Because we go through times like that in our lives, where we're feeling kind of empty, where we're feeling kind of lonely. And even though we're in the midst of a whole group of people that know us, maybe they, you know, we've known each other for years, we can still feel lonely and empty and alone. And do we ever feel somewhat desperate? Our theme today is about being desperate. But I want us to see that as we look at this passage, we can already see some of the signs of desperation in Zacchaeus. It says that as Jesus was coming along, Zacchaeus wanted to see him. And being a short man in the crowd, he couldn't. Well, you know, I mean, I've been to a lot of parades and been to a lot of places where there's a crowd of people, and short people a lot of times have the advantage, don't they? Because they just kind of push their way in, and they're down front. And all the people have to look kind of over the short people, right? Well, Zacchaeus, you know, it says he couldn't because of the crowd, and we assume that it's because he's short and the crowd's tall. And that's partly true, but the other part of that story is people hated Zacchaeus. They weren't going to make room for him in front of them, down front. So if he had friends, he could easily go squeeze in the front. But he was not liked, and they were going to push him out of the way and not be nice to him. There was no chance. So his only chance was to go climb that tree. But here's the sign of desperation for me, is that men, they don't run. And in Jewish culture, the men didn't just take off and run like that. That was just a sign of total loss of dignity. And climbing trees, right? I mean, how many of y'all still climb trees? You know? Okay, good. We got a few of the younger ones, right? I didn't see any of my age group holding their hands up anymore, you know? I used to love to climb trees, and I would go way up at the top, and I quit doing that. And it's probably a good thing, because not only would most trees not hold my fat body anymore, when I was younger, if I fell, I would bounce, and now I would just kind of hit and break. And so it's probably a good thing that we quit climbing trees. But Zacchaeus, he was desperate. He was broken. He was just poor in spirit, and he humbled himself, and he didn't care if people thought that crazy guy's running and that crazy guy's climbing a tree. He wanted to see Jesus, and he was going for it. Well, let's keep going. It says that when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Again, you see how they viewed Zacchaeus. They hated him, and he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But I'm curious, and I was looking for Linda, so I'll just have to call out Elaine this morning. I'm curious, how do you teach this song to the children, you know? You don't have to answer me, but that Zacchaeus song that we all learned growing up, going to church, right? When we get to this part of the song, I don't know if you, let me just ask, if you learned it this way, or you teach it this way to the kids, but when I learned it, you get to this part of the song, and Jesus looks up in the tree, and he gets his best frustrated elementary school teacher voice that he could possibly muster, and he points his finger, and he says, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there," right? Do y'all teach it that way? That's how I learned it. Most of us learned it that way, right? I don't know about you, but I don't think Jesus talked that way. I doubt that he shook his finger in anger at Zacchaeus up in the tree. But that's okay. It's a cute, memorable way to learn the story. And I'm not criticizing how we teach and learn that song. But I want you to see love coming from the voice of Jesus. I want you to see compassion as he looks up and he sees this desperate man just trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. And he says, "I want to come and I want to spend time with you. I'm going to come to your house and we're going to be together." I mean, that's such a much more loving way to think about it. But here's the deal for us. is that Jesus still wants to do that. And if you're feeling that ability to relate to this story this morning and you say, yeah, I am kind of desperate, I am kind of lonely, I feel empty at times, I want you to take comfort in the fact that as Jesus walks down the street and he looks up and he sees this desperate guy, what does he do? He calls him by name. God and Jesus, they know our name. They know everything about us, and they know what we need, and they know how desperate we are for a relationship with him. And so Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus by name. But a couple other verses that kind of come to my mind as I thought about the fact that Jesus still wants to relate to us the same way. There's a passage in John chapter 14, verse 23, and it says that Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Jesus is saying, we want to come and we want to make our home right inside of your heart. And then there's that other passage in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, where it's again, Jesus saying, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Both of these passages are painting pictures that God desires to come and spend time with us, that the holy presence of God wants to come and live in us, as the song that we just sang was saying. That's such an awesome picture, and I hope that we can grab a hold of what that's all about. But I want you to see what's next. Because in verse 8 it says, "But Zacchaeus stood up, and he said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost.'" You know, we don't know how long that Jesus was with Zacchaeus. We don't know if it was an hour or 4 hours or how long that encounter lasted. But what we do know is that Jesus and his words were spoken to Zacchaeus. And during that time that they were together, it was obvious that Zacchaeus was touched and that he was changed. I mean, Zacchaeus, you know, he says after this time together, he says, "Lord, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor." That's a huge change in this greedy, money hoarding, you know, Jewish guy, that now he's going to just, instead of being so focused on himself, he's going to give away his money to the poor. And he says, "And if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay back four times." I mean, here's a guy who's ready to make amends for his wrongs. And he's willing to pay restitution, even beyond what was expected of him for the sins that he's committed. And I think it says if, but it probably should say since. But I think the point is that Zacchaeus, his attitude has changed. His life has changed. He's got a new purpose and a new direction in his life. He's no longer lost, but he's got a new direction and a new, just his life is just so different because of the time that he spent with Jesus. And again, for us this morning, I hope that we can understand that if we will allow Jesus into our lives and spend time in his word, let that be our daily bread, that it'll change our life as well. That it'll help our attitudes to be more like that of Jesus. That it'll help us in the way we treat people, in the way we value people over our things. I just love the change that I see in this man. But I want to kind of ask the question this morning, and that is, what should desperate people do? Because I want to just keep bringing it back to us. Because the story is there. It's one of those big events in the last part of Jesus' life. But I think it's here because it's for us this morning. I hope that we can realize that we are those desperate ones for God. You know, I could have easily put the word lost in this question. But I chose not to, because sometimes when we think about being lost, we just always go back to our conversion and our baptism, and we say, no, I was baptized 30 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever, and I'm not lost. But I didn't want to use the word lost, because I want to use the word desperate. Because whether you're a Christian or not, we need to be desperate for Jesus. We need to be just longing for Him in our life, for His presence to come and live inside of us, for His Word to speak to us on a regular basis. And so I didn't want to let y'all off the hook real easily by putting a word like lost and us just kind of blowing it off. This morning, what should we do if we're desperate? And I think we can look at this story and we can see, first of all, what we need to do is we need to run to Jesus. That we need to just humble ourselves and not worry about what people might think of us, and just realize that it's okay to be broken, and we just need to run to Jesus. And I think second, we need to welcome Him into our lives. We need to just be willing for His presence to come and to stay and to live in us, and have that relationship. And I think third, we need to allow His Word to change our life. Because if we'll spend time with Jesus and spend time with His Word speaking to us, He will change our attitudes. And He will give us a new direction. And He will change the priorities of our life. And He will fill that desperate emptiness that we have. And that's just what we all need. But this morning, I know that a lot of y'all, even though I want to make this desperation thing fit for all of us, some of us are cruising along with God, and we're doing really good. And so there's one other figure in this story that I want to just kind of share with you. And that is, the other important figure is the tree. So if you guys are walking with God the way you need to be walking, then the tree is who you need to be. And the purpose of the tree was to lift up people to Jesus. And that's my challenge to all of us, is that we would be those people that would hold others up so that they could see Jesus as He passes by. You know, the purpose of Jesus was to seek and to save what was lost. And I believe the purpose of our church is to seek and to save those that are lost, those that are lonely, those that are desperate. And even as we are talking about so many different things in our small groups, in our classes, I hope that we will never lose focus of our real purpose. It's not really just about us in this room. It's about seeking and saving those that are lost. And how can we be that sycamore fig tree that holds up people to see Jesus? I hope that somehow you will respond today, this week. And I don't necessarily mean everybody run down the aisle this morning. I hope that you will just have a response somehow where you just open your heart to Jesus and let Him in this week. And maybe you need to pray with people that you're sitting around, or maybe you need to go find an elder this morning and say, please pray with me, or find some lady that you want to pray with, a sister in Christ. But somehow, I pray that you will respond to Jesus today. And if you've never If you are lost in terms of you've not been saved, then we would love to help you with that as well. So however you need to respond, we're going to sing that song, I think, one more time. And just let these words come from your heart as let's stand up and sing together.